Thanks for tuning in. This is i80 Sports, and today we're going to preview the 2023 Major League Soccer season for the Vancouver Whitecaps. By now, you all know what we're doing. 29 episodes, 29 teams before the start of the Major League Soccer season. And we're bringing on special guests for each team to help preview the 2023 Major League Soccer season. Today, we're talking Vancouver Whitecaps. We have sports broadcaster Gideon Hill. How are you doing today?
Great, guys. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Another great Sunday here doing some season previews, getting ready for the start of Major League Soccer, less than 6 days away. Very exciting. Gideon, tell us a little bit about where you can find your work.
You can find me at Twitter, Gideon_Hill, and on Instagram as well, same handle. So follow me there, and you can see all my work for hockey and soccer.
Absolutely. Going to have to check that out. Being in the Great White North in Vancouver, that is West Coast, right?
Yeah, West Coast, just above Seattle. So we're about 2 hours north of Seattle.
All right, so let us know a little bit about team culture, ownership. What do even casual fans need to know about Vancouver Whitecaps?
One thing to be would be a very passionate fan base. We have multiple supporters clubs that are passionate about the team, passionate about the city, an ownership group that cares about the franchise. We've been in the league since 2009. 2011 was when we started. So, you know, it's been a difficult last 12 years of MLS with not making the playoffs too many times, but I'd say the passionate fan base definitely kind of indicates what the team means to the city. And, you know, the culture, I would say, definitely is important when the fans get going. The culture around the team definitely is exciting. And you can tell when the fans are giving the team their support, the team finds success. And I think that'll be the key this year.
Absolutely. Vancouver's not a team that I know to have, you know, a whole lot of superstars, one of, the three Major League Soccer teams up in Canada, but it doesn't seem to be for lack of trying. There's always transfers, there's always new names, there's always things going on in Vancouver. Now, last season didn't quite pay off. 12 wins, 7 draws, 15 losses. 40 goals scored, 57 goals conceded. That's a minus 17 goal differential, tied for worst in the Western Conference. Scott, why don't you bring us through the contributors from last season?
Well, all right. So we just got done with Nashville earlier, which was kind of the Hany Mukhtar show. By contrast, Vancouver is a little bit more contribution by committee. Leading the way is Lucas Cavallini, 9 goals, 1 assist. Ryan Gold, 8 goals, 5 assists. Brian White, 4 goals, 1 assist. Toussaint Ricketts, 4 goals, 1 assist. Christian, I'm about to pronounce your last name wrong.
Dahomey.
The jump. Anyway, we're going to skip over that. But 2 goals, 4 assists. Julian Gressel, 2 goals, 2 assists. I mean, there's a few pieces here that are leaving, but everything seems to be replaceable. But I suppose the biggest concern is that this just wasn't enough contribution, because Vancouver misses out on the playoff line by about 4 points, 5 points, and has a minus 17 goal difference. Is that something that we think is going to get better in this next year?
I really hope so. I mean, you rely on guys like Brian White, Ryan Gold now, who is going to be under his second full season of MLS under his belt. You have maybe new signing Sebastian Cordova coming in. They didn't do a whole lot besides that offensively, which is concerning. That would be my weak point this year, which I know we'll get to later on. But I don't think they did enough offensively to try and allow for more goals. But I think if you're looking at maybe one guy that you'd want to try and lead the way this year, be Brian White, to improve on those goals. And you lose 9 in Cavallini, but you also lose his card accumulation that he had every 3 or 4 games, it seems. So you lose some of that, but you also gain some in-house goal scoring with Brian White, which you hope will contribute a little bit more.
Very interesting. Cavallini actually led the team with yellow cards, 9 yellows and a red. No one else is even close. I mean, Gault, I guess 6, but like from that's not something you see from a center forward very often, right?
No, and I know he was a bruising player when he came in, but every time he came on the field, your fans were you know, waiting for that yellow card. It was almost like a drinking game for whenever he got a yellow card that you'd start. So, yeah, I mean, he got a couple of suspensions last year. He had a 3 or 4 match suspension in a game against Nashville after a tackle. So that side of him certainly won't be missed, but his goal-scoring prowess will.
Yeah, but I feel like, again, he's a replaceable player. Didn't eat a whole lot of minutes for you last year. Didn't really contribute too much. I would say, you know, his 3 years in Vancouver, not very good, right? What does he have? 18 goals, 2 assists over 3 seasons. Not what you're looking at out of a starting player, and he never broke 1,500 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, he was as a DP player coming in, playing for the Canadian national team, there's a lot of excitement about him, and I think he never lived up to the billing, it's fair to say. I wouldn't say I'm happy to see him moved on, but I'm very excited to see what they do to kind of replace his goal scoring. It's going to be difficult with having Cordova not announced yet. It's being close, I'm told. But again, you have Brian White, Toussaint Ricketts retiring. Ryan Gault is your kind of center forward. There's going to be a lot of reliance on in-house scoring, which can be good and bad because you're familiar with the system, but you don't have guys who are, I guess, accustomed to scoring, you know, 15, 16 goals a year, which is what this team needs.
If the Cordova signing does get over the line, that is an interesting one. He scored 9 goals, 2 assists last year for Real Salt Lake. Did have 2 goals, which are not counted in that total, in the playoffs against Austin. But he was a guy that was on the upswing at the end of the season, getting better. And he was pretty healthy, so he was able to, you know, stay on the field. So, I mean, unfortunately, like, if you just go by history, that's a little too similar number-wise, but it seems to be, like, you know, an upgrade in terms of availability, and it's definitely a player that is maybe on the upswing of their career.
Yeah, and I think you hit the nail on the head with the numbers. I mean, it might not be good, but from what I recall, he came in midway through with RSL, you know, a team that didn't have a lot of goal scoring within the team. Like, RSL isn't a team known for scoring a lot of goals, and having 9 goals in that team and 2 in the playoffs against Austin in a tough place to play in Q2 Stadium down in Texas. I mean, it's any goal scorer would be really happy to have a guy like Ryan Gault play with him and feed him the ball and, you know, accept those great crosses and corner kicks. So I think he'd be such a great asset to this team. And he's definitely in the upswing for sure. I mean, coming from a league in Germany would be upgrade for sure.
Let's go back and talk just a second about some departures. Derek Cornelius out. Baldissimo's gone. Lucas Cavallini, obviously, we mentioned. Bekel is out. Chao Alexander is over in Fortaleza, I believe, Serie A. And you had some, I guess, retirements. Who was the retirement?
Toussaint Ricketts, Florian.
Yeah, Ricketts, yep. For sure.
And Owusu as well is gone. So some key midfield pieces, but I think they've supplemented that with you know, Andres Kubas, who came in midway last year, and Alessandro Schopf as well, who was a midseason signing. So you replaced them last year, essentially didn't do a whole lot in the offseason, but you have guys that will now be in their first full year.
So let's take a look at this depth chart now, because I have to say, maybe it's a East Coast, West Coast thing, maybe it's a Canada-American thing. A lot of players that I don't know very well on this depth chart, but here's what we did put together. This is obviously with Gideon's help. He basically wrote the entire thing and I made the graphic. let's start from up top. We got Cordova behind him. If not, you got White. Now, I'm a Red Bull supporter. We know Red White very well, and he doesn't have the goods. Let's be honest there. He can fill in and score a couple goals from that spot, especially late in games as a super sub. But do you honestly believe that White can contribute if he's called to be an everyday starter this year?
100%. And, you know, maybe you're more familiar with him than from when he was his Red Bull days. But I thought he was a good goal scorer when he was at the Red Bulls. And I've seen him be prolific with the Whitecaps, scoring some big goals. He's a smaller striker, but he's built. He's fast. He can get behind the defense. And he scores timely goals. And I think that's important. He may not score, you know, 16, 17 year, but he could score 9 or 10 and they could be winning goals and that could be equally as important, right? So You guys might not think he is the quality that I believe he is, but I think he definitely has a lot more goals than him this year if he's presented with the right opportunity. He had some injuries as well last year to deal with. So,
yeah, I think he had just over 1,600 minutes, so not an everyday guy there. We have, you know, kind of one striker and then Gault, who's kind of a little more forward than a center attacking midfielder, maybe like a false nine or, you know, a center forward here. Talk about how much Ryan Gault means to this team, because he just hit the ground running for you guys.
Yeah, he's been the backbone of this team since his signing in July, I believe it was 2021. So he's been instrumental. I mean, he can assist, he can score beautiful goals. He really is the straw that stirs the drink, if you will. He's wore the captain's armband a few games, so that he has that veteran leadership, you know, coming over from Portugal. He's just been such a great signing, and it's what this team has been yearning for in number 10 for a number of years. So he's been amazing for this club.
Yeah, pulling up his stats in Portugal, it doesn't look like he really ever amounted to much beside a couple goals here or there. His last season in Farinense, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. His last season, he had 9 goals, but he had 8 for you guys last season with 5 assists. So I definitely think, you know, he can realistically double both of those numbers with the addition of a center forward. Let's talk about the midfield now. I have a 4-man midfield. Christian Dahomey on the left, Gressel on the right. Let's start from the outside wing positions.
Yeah, I mean, Julian Gressel, again, a guy that came in last year in the summertime in a trade. You can't rely on a guy a whole lot coming in midseason. You want to make sure he's used to the systems. He's going to be playing a lot more this year on the right. And Christian Dahomey on the left, you all know what he brings. He's a fiery Colombian. He's got good speed. He's very good on the ball. And Dabra Caicedo as well, you were allowed to get some minutes. So there'll be an interesting battle out wide this year on the flanks with Cam Habibullah as well, the youngster trying to get some minutes after being on loan in the Canadian Premier League last year. So it's going to be interesting to watch the battle on the outside. And I think you rely on those guys to really get the ball into the 18 for Brian White and Ryan Gault and maybe even Cordova later on down the road.
When we move to the midfield, we have a new player, Alessandro Schopf. What do you know about him?
He played for the Austrian national team, played in Germany as well. He's an experienced midfielder from Europe. He came in midway last year. He's got international experience. He's got experience playing in the European leagues. He's a great player. He's one that will help Andres Cubas, who's a younger midfielder, more of a DM, than anything, kind of support him. And then you have in behind Schopf, Pedro Vite. So I think Schopf is an underrated signing for the Whitecaps. He did a lot of good things last year, but was limited minutes down the stretch.
Yeah, I see here he's 83rd percentile progressive passes. Doesn't necessarily pass or touch the ball very much, but when he does, he's moving the ball upfield. I like to see that from you guys. Let's talk about the other midfield position. We have Andre Cubas and Burhalter behind him. How do you see this depth chart moving forward, and who are your two best?
I think Cubas and Schopf are kind of your two guys. I like Schopf over Vite. Pedro Vite has been a little bit inconsistent. He had a really good preseason, but he's shown when he's been able to be on the ball and influential in games, he can really change the tide or do good things. So he and Schopf will probably swap back and forth. You could even see Gault slide back and maybe the formation change a bit. But I really like Sebastian Burhalter as well as kind of your fourth guy in there. We'll see how those guys kind of move about the ball this year. But losing Baldissimo, I think, is your ball-moving midfielder, does allow space for a shot from Vite to come in.
And let's talk about this back line. 57 goals was a lot to give up last season. Let's talk about this 4-man back line.
Yeah, I mean, you have a Christian Gutierrez on the left wing, Matias Laborda, who's a new signing. I'm really excited to see this year. He's had a good preseason. Ranko Veselinovic, who had some time this preseason as well with his country, playing against the United States as well in LAFC's stadium there, BMO Stadium, and Jervain Brown, who is a Jamaican international. So you have some guys that not only play internationally with their teams, their countries, but just there's going to be some hiccups this year, I think, with, you know, chemistry at the beginning, because you have Laborda coming in. Gutierrez didn't play a whole lot last year. Martins can be key when he's in there and he's starting. But I think Tristan Blackman could also flip-flop with Gutierrez on the left side. So it'll be interesting to see Ryan Raposo as well making the jump to right back, normally outside midfielder. So I think this year the key will be chemistry. You mentioned how many goals they gave up. It was quite a bit, but I think now with the Laborda signing and signing Yohei Takioka in goal, they could really shore up that back line.
One of the things you see from some of the best defending teams is that when you look at the number of minutes played, you want to see the back line four guys be, you know, four of the top 10 players for sure. And you just don't have this there. I mean, Tristan Blackmon, 2,100 minutes, and he was the highest. Next up is Javian Brown, 1,800 minutes. That's only 22 games. That's still 14 games that he missed. So do you think there's going to be any more continuity to this back line, or is it just going to be, you know, a little more play the hot hand and take it from there?
100%. And I mean, like, the thing with the Caps in the past is they've had a lot of depth at the back line, which is a good thing. But you also like to have that kind of, as a coach, lets you have rotation. You don't necessarily want rotation, right? If you're shutting out a team or giving up one goal, you don't want to have guys coming in that maybe haven't played in a while. So that was their, I think their kryptonite last year is that they had so many guys behind the top two center backs. You bring the other guys in to try and rotate this squad and losing that consistency. So I think Laborda, Blackmon, Veselinovic will be your key guys this year, and that will really help them keep the goals out and the ball out of their net, hopefully.
And let's talk about the goalkeeper.
Yeah, Yohei Takioka, a new signing from the Japanese league. Very excited about him. I mean, he comes in and he's got experience playing over in his country. He's an exceptional goalkeeper from the stats that I've seen. Helps out young goalkeepers like Thomas Asell and Isaac Bomer. So he's going to be really exciting to watch. And I think with him and Cordova, if the Cordova signing comes ahead and goes through, you're looking at a really different team and an exciting team for sure for fans to watch.
Played in Marinos in Japan, and I see over the past previous two seasons, his 24th and 25th year, 41 wins combined. He was 21-6-6 and 28-6. Definitely knows how to win, and he won the Japanese league as a starting goaltender last year.
Yeah, he brings a lot of experience. I'm excited to see him play.
I was seeing that he was billed as the Nick Raimondo of the J League. So if that's true, you won't be conceding many penalties this year.
We need a Kyle Beckerman type player, then we'll be set.
Yeah.
What are some storylines we need to follow, kind of either season long or maybe for the first half of the season? If I turn on the Whitecaps game on a random, you know, Saturday evening, maybe Sunday morning to catch a little of what happened the previous night, what should I be looking for?
I think the big storyline for me this offseason was losing Cavallini. I mean, you try and replace him with goals. You supplement the goals with maybe Cordova. I think if Cordova comes in, you have him and Brian White and Ryan Gold pulling the strings in midfield. I think you watch the midfield this year. The defense is something that's going to have to kind of work itself out, but you really look for the goal-scoring creativity of Ryan Gold and the wing play of Julian Gressel. I think is an exceptional acquisition last year. And Andres Kuvas, who can not only hold the fort down defensively from his midfield position, but also score some goals. He beat got a late winner against LAFC last year in one of his first games. So I think the midfield's going to be one to watch and a key storyline, I believe.
Now, the depth chart here being like a 4-4-2 doesn't really tell me a whole lot. Can you just touch on play style, identity? What is this team going to be looking to do?
I think they're going to be looking to play through the midfield a lot more. I mean, you have Kubas, who's going to be sitting probably in behind Schopp, if not in behind Gold, depending on how the strikers line up. So it's truly a 4-4-2, maybe a 4-4-1-1 if you have Gold dropping back, like I indicated there on the depth chart. I think the key will be the wide areas as well. Gutierrez is known to have a good delivery in the left foot when he's playing. He didn't play a whole lot last year. Javian Brown has pace. So I think using the flanks is going to be key this year. And you don't have the height right now in Brian White to get the goals off the head. But if you play along the deck and you have, you know, those low driven crosses from the outside or maybe even a through ball from Gold for the speed of White, that will be the key this year.
Now you have wingers and fullbacks. Are these fullbacks expected to overlap, or are they more being held back in the defensive? Is there an overlap? How do those pieces move?
Not necessarily. You would normally see them the 3-5-2, which maybe could happen with you have Blackmon coming in, you have Brown going to the outside, and maybe Dahomey on the other side, which happened a lot last year. So I wouldn't say overlapping. I mean, Gressel can play right back. We saw him play there for the States. So I wouldn't say overlapping a lot unless they get themselves in a really sticky situation, but Brown can overlap if needed and they could change the formation. So it's very fluid, I think.
I have a question about actually sort of a storyline around the coach for Vancouver. Vanni Sertini, he's been in place since like August 2021. But it looks like his contract expires this year. I guess the question is he on any sort of hot seat, you know, with Vancouver potentially not making the playoffs again, you know, or is he taking this team in the right direction? And, you know, and it doesn't matter as long as they're close. But is there something to watch there?
100%. I think that was something I was going to mention as well. I'm very surprised he's back. I knew his playoffs are bust last year. His first half year in charge, I guess he almost led the club to the playoffs. He had that incredible run down the stretch. He had a bit of that last year, but I thought it would be that last year would be his final season. To be honest, I thought that not making the playoffs again would be, you know, his marching orders. It didn't happen. So I'm interested to see how this year goes. I think if the first half of the year doesn't go his way, I could see a new coach in charge. There's been a lot of rumors about who could come in to replace him. But yeah, storyline would definitely be him. And I think it's playoffs or bust again this year. And if it's not going that way in the first 10, 15 games of the season, I don't see him lasting that long.
When I look at the home away splits, it's pretty drastic. 1.94 points per game at home is actually very good. 0.59 points per game away is one of the worst in the league. When we look at the other teams who have that strong geographical advantage, you have Rapids, RSL, Philly, but they were just good everywhere last year. Why is Vancouver amongst those teams?
I don't know. I mean, BC Place is such a fortress. You can't play all 34 or whatever it is, your games at home, right? So they've never been a road team. They have gotten very few wins over their history in MLS. On the road, they've got some big wins in Seattle and Portland, but it's about being consistent. I think the weakness is those Eastern road trips. I mean, they're tough, they're grueling, but you have to be accustomed to it because that's what this league is. It's all about travel. So I think you can't blame it on any one certain thing. I think probably preparedness and the schedule hasn't always played a factor for them, but I've looked at the schedule for this year and it's not too grueling. I mean, you have a couple, three games in a week scenarios, but that's because of the CONCACAF Champions League. And then you have Eastern road trip in August, September. So it's not too bad. You can't blame it on the schedule because everyone has the same similar schedule, right? So you might have more travel involved, but they just need to be better on the road overall if they want to be a playoff team.
Usually when I ask that question, I get the supporters. We have the best men behind us. You're just like, I don't know. We just play better at home.
Yeah, right. It's interesting. I mean, BC plays with the turf. It's definitely plays a home field advantage. So do the fans. And we have fans traveling on the road. But again, everyone has to play the same amount of road games, the same amount of travel for most teams anyways. I mean, the Whitecaps travel a little bit more because they're out west. But you play the same amount of road games in a year and you want to try and be better and you have to be better to be a playoff team, like I said. So it's important.
Let's do some quick hit questions to bring us around here. What's the biggest strength of this team?
Biggest strength, I would say this year is going to be their midfield, their center midfield.
Biggest weakness?
Defense.
What's one player outside of our opening day starting 11 that has the best chance of winning a full-time job?
I think Ryan Raposo. He's outside winger. He's converted to right back, left back this year. I think he's one to watch. He's a great player, a great person on and off the field, and we'll hopefully see him win that starting role from maybe even Jermaine Brown.
What player on our starting roster has the best chance to lose their job this season?
Alessandro Schopf, I think.
And who are your biggest rivals?
Seattle Sounders, Portland Timbers.
All right. Do you have any last words for us, Gideon?
No, I appreciate the time. Thanks for having me on again here, and maybe look forward to doing it next year too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We hope for maybe we'll have some more positive news by that point. Gideon, from is a sports broadcaster, let us know one more time where we can find your work.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter @_GideonHill and on Instagram as well, Gideon Hill. So follow me there to see my work, and I'll give you a follow back. And yeah, look forward to working with you guys in the future here.
Thank you very much for taking the time out to be here with us today. Good luck this season. And thank you at home for watching ID Sports.